From Seoul, Korea, KBS World Radio News Today starts right now.
On today's broadcast, U.S. President Donald Trump calls for an abrupt halt to Project Freedom and again accuses Iran of attacking a Korean cargo ship. North Korea revises its constitution to reflect leader Kim Jong-un's two-state doctrine while removing provisions related to reunification. And the KOSPI gains more than 6% to break the 7,000 mark for the first time, closing at a record 7,384.56. This is KBS World Radio News. I'm Daniel Che. In the wake of an explosion on a South Korean vessel stranded in the Strait of Hormuz, U.S. President Donald Trump has again accused Iran of attacking the cargo ship. And after days of pressuring South Korea to join its efforts to restore safe passage in the vicinity of the critical waterway, Trump has called an abrupt halt to Project Freedom, the U.S. campaign to free stranded ships. Kim Bum-soo has the latest.
By the way, their ship was shot at. They would not end the cavalcade of ships.
Speaking to reporters at the White House on Tuesday, Trump was apparently referring to the 38,000-ton HMM Namu from South Korea, which caught fire after an explosion in the Strait of Hormuz on Monday.
They decided to go it alone, and their ship got the hell knocked out of it yesterday. But they didn't shoot the ships that were guarded by us, I'll tell you that. We knocked down a lot of missiles.
Seoul officials intend to investigate to determine the cause of the explosion when the vessel arrives at the port of Dubai, including whether the ship was attacked. The incident followed an announcement from the U.S. that it would guide stranded ships through the waterway and a subsequent warning from Iran not to attempt to transit the strait without permission.
We're in contact with that ship.
During a news conference Tuesday, U.S. Secretary of War Pete Hegseth blamed Iran for actions he labeled indiscriminate.
It's a reflection of the indiscriminate nature of what Iran is doing. We hope South Korea would step up, just like we hope Japan would step up, just like we hope Australia would
step up. He urged South Korea and other U.S. allies to join the efforts to secure navigational freedom in the region, but the situation soon got even more confusing for the nearly 2,000 vessels stranded in the region since the war started. Just a short while after Hegseth's remarks, Trump said on Truth Social that the operation to reopen the strait will be temporarily suspended to see whether a deal can be signed with Iran. Kim Bum-soo, KBS World Radio News.
The presidential office says there is no longer any need for South Korea to consider whether to take part in Project Freedom as the U.S. campaign has been suspended. National Security Advisor Lee Sung-nak revealed the top office's stance on Monday during a news conference, saying Seoul was considering joining the Washington-proposed maritime freedom construct and had planned to review South Korea's participation in Project Freedom as well. On Monday's explosion and fire on the 38,000-ton HMM Namu in the Strait of Hormuz, we said the South Korean vessel is being towed and is expected to arrive at the port of Dubai early Thursday, adding that South Korean officials intend to investigate the cause of the explosion, including whether the ship was attacked. We said the top office had considered convening a working-level meeting of the National Security Council, concerned that the ship may have been attacked, but after gathering additional information, it became uncertain whether the ship was shot at. He said whether or not the vessel was attacked requires verification. Another South Korean tanker carrying crude oil has successfully taken a detour through the Red Sea amid the continued closure of the Strait of Hormuz. The Ministry of Oceans and Fisheries said Wednesday that as of 9 a.m., the vessel had safely passed through the Red Sea and was en route to South Korea. Wednesday marks the third time that a South Korean vessel had used the alternative route since the blockade of the Strait of Hormuz in mid-April. The vessel is said to be scheduled to arrive at the port of Onsan in Ulsan's Ulju County at the end of this month. The ministry said it is supporting the safety of the vessel and its crew through round-the-clock real-time monitoring, navigational safety information, and continuous communication among the ministry, the shipping company, and the vessel. North Korea has revised its constitution to reflect leader Kim Jong-un's two-state doctrine, including a new territorial clause defining sovereignty over only the northern part of the Korean Peninsula and removing provisions related to reunification. According to North's revised constitution disclosed at a press briefing for the Ministry of Unification press corps on Wednesday, all references to inter-Korean kinship and national reunification have been removed. A clause calling for achieving reunification based on independence, peaceful reunification, and national unity has been deleted, along with references in the preamble that Kim Il-sung and Kim Jong-il worked to achieve reunification. A newly added territorial clause defines the country's domain as bordering China and Russia to the north and South Korea to the south, though specific land and maritime boundaries were not detailed. While the revision broadly reflects the two-state framework, it does not explicitly designate South Korea as a hostile state, despite Kim's earlier remarks calling for such language. The benchmark Korea Composite Stock Price Index surged more than 6% on Wednesday to close above the 7,000 mark for the first time ever. According to the Korea Exchange, the index jumped 447.57 points, or 6.45%, to finish at 7,384.56, marking the second largest daily gain on record. The index opened 2.25% higher at 7,093.01 and extended gains throughout the session, at one point reaching an intraday high of 7,426.6. It took about 70 days or 47 trading sessions for the index to climb from the 6,000 milestone reached on February 25th to surpass 7,000. Meanwhile, the tech-heavy KOSDAQ fell 0.29% to close at 1,210.17. A day ahead of the plenary vote on a motion to revise the country's constitution, President Lee Jae-myung has called on the National Assembly to act promptly and pursue change one step at a time. Presiding over a cabinet meeting on Wednesday, he said the constitution has been in its current form for the past 40 years or so and is no longer adequate to ensure a healthy democracy, decent living conditions, or a bright future for the nation. The president suggested what he called a practical approach, amending the constitution little by little, saying a complete overhaul would be burdensome in the face of conflicting political interests. Referring to the existing motion, which stipulates that the president must obtain parliamentary consent before declaring martial law, he said no member of the general public would oppose this provision. The president also said references in the proposed preamble to the constitution to the spirit of the 1980 Gwangju pro-democracy movement and the 1979 Busan-Masan pro-democracy uprising would face little opposition from either side of the political aisle. Rival parties have clashed over a special counsel bill to investigate allegations of groundless indictments under the Yoon Sung-yeol administration. During a plenary session of the Parliamentary Judiciary Committee on Wednesday, the ruling Democratic Party said the bill aims to investigate alleged prosecutorial misconduct, while the main opposition People Power Party argued it is intended to justify dropping charges against President Lee Jae-myung. Democratic Party lawmaker Chun Hyun-hee said opposing the special counsel is equivalent to blocking a criminal investigation, adding that abuse of prosecutorial power appears to be involved and it should be examined by a special counsel. She added that if people were victimized by wrongful investigations and indictments, charges should be withdrawn and the state should provide compensation. People Power Party lawmaker Na Kyung-won, however, criticized the bill as unconstitutional, urging the Justice Minister to persuade President Lee to scrap it and to call for a veto if it passes Parliament. And that's the news from KBS World Radio's News Center in Seoul. This has been Daniel Choi.